Welcome to this week's edition of Community Tides. This is Chris Bricker, and on alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to explore new developments, new paradigms, and the talented, innovative, and creative citizens that live on our vibrant peninsula. Siobhan is away with family today, but I'll be here, and she'll be back on our next episode. This summer, Wilderby Farm will host Poetry on the Salish Sea, monthly poetry readings by poets from around the Olympic Peninsula and beyond. The farm will host this free series in its meadery garden from May through October. The series is sponsored by Wilderby Farm, Imprint Bookstore, the Port Townsend Arts Commission, and the Production Alliance. Joining us today to tell us more are Catherine Hunt, the series curator, and poet Alice Derry. Catherine Hunt is a writer and a teacher and makes her home in the coast of the Salish Sea here in the ancestral lands of the Squalum, Chimicum, and Suquamish peoples. Her first collection of poems, Long Way Through Ruin, was published by Blue Begonia Press in 2013. Her second collection, Seed Wheel, was published by Lost Horse Press in 2021. She's also the author of two chapbooks, The Country I Come From, 2022, and She Who Walks the Earth in 2023. She's recently completed a memoir, Unforgettable, A Mother and Daughter Story. Catherine Hunt has worked as a waitress, a ship scaler, a short order cook, bookseller, food bank coordinator, filmmaker, freelance writer. That's the life of an artist, eh? Alice Derry is the author of six volumes of poetry, along with three chapbooks, including translations of poems by Rainer Rilke. And her most recent book is Asking, A Meditation on Grief, from Moonpath Press. And Derry taught for 30 years at Peninsula College, where she curated the Foothills Poetry Series, and she's active in working with local tribal members who are writing poetry and has taught a number of community-based poetry workshops, including at the Port Townsend Writers Conference. She's the author of two-volume series of essays on native plants in the Pacific Northwest in collaboration with scientist and artist Fred Sharp. Raymond Carver chose her first poetry manuscript, Stages of Twilight, for the King County Seattle Arts Prize. Strangers to Their Courage was a finalist in the Washington Book Award. So I want to thank you both, Catherine Hunt and Alice Derry. Welcome to Community Tides.
Good to be with you.
We have Alice on the phone. Glad to have you. I'm going to ask you, first of all, how the idea hatched to curate this series, Catherine Hunt, because you're the creator. Tell us more about how you put it together.
It came a bit by serendipity, actually. I read some poems at Wilderby Farm last summer, and Casey Reeder, the owner of the farm with her husband Eric, came and spoke to me afterwards, and we thought, oh, we maybe should continue our conversation about poetry. And we did into the winter, and we decided that Alice Derry and Tess Gallagher and I would read together there. And then COVID and other things started to kind of rear their heads again, and we put it off till spring. And when we got back together, we decided to do not just one reading, but six readings, a series, and call it Poetry on the Salish Sea.
So that ranges out over a six-month period, which is quite an accomplishment to curate all of that.
It's been a lot of fun. There'll be 18 poets from around the sea, north, south, east, and west, reading their poems. Once a month, you can see the whole schedule at wilderby.com or on my website, catherinehunt.net. The whole schedule and the poets are posted there.
Alice Derry, let's talk a little bit about the range of literary talent in this county, one of which is KPTZ's own Sheila Bender, by the way, who had a series on the writing life that she produced a number of years here at the station. From your vantage point, what have you seen throughout the peninsula over the years?
A very wide range of talent and many, many poets. I am mostly based out of Port Angeles, so I'm always astounded in that working class town that we have such a wide group and diverse group of poets. and fiction writers who are devoting themselves to the art very passionately. It's a joy to live there and be part of that community, and then to be able to come to Port Townsend and find a whole nother community. And I have been on Sheila's show, and I'm amazed at Catherine and her ability. So she said, "Will you do this reading with me?" And suddenly it blossomed into something really wonderful. And I'm especially thrilled that one of the participants in our native poetry group, Samantha Della Devoni, will be reading. That gladdens my heart.
And you've been doing a lot of work with the Jamestown tribe, right?
It's really any tribal members, but mostly it is Macaw, Lower Elwha, Jamestown, and we have a wonderful California poet, Costa Nolan. So we have a wide range, and there's no requirement except to be native. So since we meet on Zoom, we found out that if we did that, there would be no late drive from Nea Bay, which can be very dangerous at night. And we could include many, many poets in the diaspora that have gone out from their tribes, and we can still include them in the group.
Yeah, the West Side is a wide-ranging piece of territory there, isn't it?
It is, but yeah. Home to many wonderful tribes.
Yeah, and the arts community in Port Angeles is coming into its own, isn't it?
It is, and soon this Field Hall will be opening, and Tess Gallagher is going to be the first artist in residence there. So that's a really wonderful thing.
And Catherine Hunt, are all of the participants published poets, or how did you go through the selection process?
Well, really, I was looking for poets whose work I'd fall in love with. And as Alice said, there are a lot of people to fall in love with, a lot of good poets in the area, including Samantha Della Devoni, the woman she mentioned a moment ago. I just read widely. I asked friends. I hacked around on the internet. And I managed to find 18 people to come and read in Port Townsend. Every poet wants to read their poems. So there were a lot of yeses to the invitation. Yeah, it just came together.
Now, here we are sitting here talking about poetry, but let's hear some poetry. You've got something you want to read for us there, Catherine?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I'm going to read a poem from my book, Seed Wheel, and it's called Drift Boat. And we have a lot of people here in Port Townsend or on the peninsula in general who go up north to fish. My husband, George, fished in Alaska for 34 years. He skippered a boat up there. So this is called Drift Boat. You sleepwalk from our bed to picture window. The neighbors' roofs turn sandbars in an ebbing tide. You've been gone to Bristol Bay another season, and the flare of headlights climbing up the hill seem to you to trace the flashing backs of silver sockeye. Fish tangle to their gills, your arms haul 50-fathom nets. Salmon gather toward the Ikigik, that final dash to spawning ground, fresh water in their blood. Lie down next to me. We're older now, and when we feast, it is to take into our bodies the oblivion of wild northern amplitude again. Your hands, your mouth, our salted skin. I want to feel the ancient current take us. Not the childhood country of savaged forests, clotted streams, but the bedrock, bliss-dark soundings of the body.
Oh, thank you for that. The fishing tradition here in Port Townsend, and the more of a focal point the boatyard has become. We do a show here called Our Working Waterfront, and it's wonderful to just row in the boatyard and talk to people that have gone fishing, their families have gone fishing for decades and decades.
That's right, and there are so many. In the last 50 years, the boatyard here has been transformed by the boat builders, the people who work on the boats, and then all the fishers who head up north, either to southeast or on to Bristol Bay in the Arctic to fish.
Yeah, and you did a stint in the boatyard, didn't you?
I did. I was a ship scaler.
Yeah.
I joined a small union of African-American workers in Seattle when I was a young thing many years ago, and they were game to hiring some young women, mm-hmm. and I was one of them. And we worked in the boatyard. We made way more money than we did as waitresses.
Well, like I mentioned in the introduction, the artist's life is full of side gigs, isn't it?
Yeah, you patch it together, basically, so you can do your art.
Alice Derry, you've been teaching poetry for quite some time. Tell me about the folks that you've discovered along the way.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I could name them without thinking about it a long time.
Yeah.
I taught mostly undergraduate poetry in the years that I was at Peninsula College, and I can tell you that Maya Zeller was one of my students, and she's now a professor over in Eastern Washington. And so we see them move on wonderfully. You never know when you're beginning with beginning students who's going to get the bug and who's going to enjoy it for a quarter and then move on. But I have certainly enjoyed studying poetry with groups of people. I've always been astounded and at wonder at what my undergraduates could discover in a poem when we were in a group setting. So many minds on one poem. It was always inspirational.
The other thing that's inspirational, at least it is for me and another genre that I've been involved with, but that sharing atmosphere that really propels people along and helps people with a lot of potential or people that are discovering their potential to sort of get triggered in some way.
Most certainly. And it is one of the wonderful things that you get to do when you're an artist, is share with other artists. There's so many wonderful benefits, but that's one of them.
Well, speaking of sharing, Alice, do you have a poem to share with us?
Yes, I do. I want to just say that's a beautiful poem, Catherine, and you read it so beautifully. And this is a much more domestic poem, but it certainly has to do with lying down together, which is something I miss very much in my new life as a widow. So this is called More Light, and it's the last poem in the book. I just want to remind us that Johann Wolfgang von Goethe was a very famous German poet, and I think this actually takes place in February, but it's anticipating the great light that we're now in. More light you always vowed were Goethe's last words. Hummingbird whirring at the feeder, vulture high coasting, both seize this sparse February twilight. I know you couldn't help leaving me. On this night, decades ago, we first slept together, two hungry bodies, then the trusted back to back in sleep. I've no real way to get out of this life, no courage there. Lying if I said I didn't want to be with our daughter, our grandson. You remember, for a little while, to be the one adored, doing everything right. When he says, Alma, come live with me forever, I want to. Forget sleep for a while, my love. Come to me. Thought, dream, any way you can.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Whether you're fishing or whether you're doing something else, it seems like sleeping and dreams go hand in hand, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we could read poetry for another half hour or so, but we have about 4 minutes left. I do want to talk about the whole idea of connection, because I think that that may have been really the motivating factor for you putting together this series. Tell me more about that, Catherine.
Yeah. You know, we as humans have been making poetry for thousands and thousands of years. And the poet and poetry really take place in the public square. It's really about being and expressing and saying what we can about what it means to be human and alive, whether that's with humor or solemnity. And it takes people who are listening and responding to receive the poem and make of it what they will. We have something in our books or in our minds that we kind of receive from where we don't know that come to us. And then it means something to us, but it's going to mean something to each person who hears the poem. It'll touch them or not because of their own lives and what's in their own heart, mind. And it's always about that connection. It's about community. It's about speaking about the things that matter to all of us. That's why it's been such a pleasure to gather all these poets together. And then hopefully people will come to our Sunday readings. They're always going to be at 3 p.m. out at Wilderby. And listen and hear what the poets of the Salish Sea have to say.
That's wonderfully put. And I think that this whole effort on your part to put this together in a way that people have access to, the whole idea of connection, on the one hand, either hearing or reading a poem, but the other end of it is it takes two to tango. That's what makes art. It's what makes painting, looking at a painting that way, mm-hmm. You know.
Yes.
Well, Alice, do you have a capper you'd like to put on this before we...
Well, I certainly would like to congratulate Catherine on the fine, fine work and the beautiful job getting the poets together, working with the meadery, and making a happy, wonderful place to meet on many Sundays throughout the summer and fall, enjoying that outdoor life, and hopefully then also connecting with the poetry, which is going to be given. And I would like to add that I always feel that the most important part about poetry is sharing emotion. And we hope that people will be able to connect on an emotional level and have their own emotional being by listening to the poem.
Catherine Hunt and Alice Derry, thank you so much for joining us here on Community Tides.
You're most welcome.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.